And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the mighty 690 KGGF here on this beautiful morning here in southeast Kansas. Right now, 53 degrees out there. We're going to have highs in the 70s. Already plenty of sunshine out there this morning. Clear skies as well. And joining us in studio for Greenside Up this morning is Wendy Powell. Good morning, Wendy. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you, Kyle?
I am doing pretty good. A little tired this morning, but ready to go for this morning. And before we get started on your subject today, you said you do have a few programs and meetings coming up.
Yes. So our ag team here in the Wildcat District is really gearing up for our winter programming to bring a great lineup to producers with great information and to maintain our social distancing guidelines and make for sure everybody that comes to our meetings can be safe doing that and feel comfortable coming to our meetings or connecting online. The first one that I'd like to discuss is the KSU Swine Day. So most of you have probably seen this already. It's going to be November 18th and 19th. It's from 10 to noon. It is, a virtual program. So if you want to watch from home, there's a registration link. And you can connect online and get all of that information. But if you'd like an opportunity to network with some other swine producers, then I will be at the Independence Fairgrounds, Riverside Park in Independence, over by the zoo, in the middle open building on November 18th and 19th. And I'll have us set up so we can watch this together, spaced out, outside, so we can be safe, follow all of those guidelines. So if you would rather wear your coveralls and be warm than wear your mask, then come on out to the Riverside Park. Give us a call. Make sure I know you're coming. So I have a registration list. And if you want to bring your own lunch for after the meeting is over, that's great. Or if you want me to get a box lunch for you brought in, I can do that too. So call me at the Labette County Extension office. 620-784-5337 on that one. And then on the same day, November 18th, we are also doing a pasture management seminar followed by a producer roundtable. This is going to be in the evening, though. And again, it's a virtual opportunity, but this connection will be in person. So we've got several sites around the district, the Crawford County Extension Office, the Twin Valley Co-op in Altamont, and then the Caney Rec Center in Caney. So producers can come in to any of those locations, visit with other producers, wear your mask, visit like a cow stands between you. So if you don't feel comfortable attending in person, we can probably make some accommodations.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, right? Some cows are bigger than 6 foot, yeah, and some are smaller. So just take your average size there. At the pasture management seminar, we're going to talk about fertilization, brush and weed control, grazing management, and then this roundtable will encompass a number of different forage management topics. So it'll be a really interesting evening. And Caney Ag in the Caney area has agreed to co-sponsor the Caney location, so there's going to be some door prizes there. And so we appreciate Caney Ag helping us out with that. So those locations are, again, Crawford County Extension Office in Girard, Twin Valley Co-op in Altamont, and the Caney Rec Center in Caney, Kansas.
All right. So good stuff there. Lots of great programs and meetings going on within the next couple of months. You said those are coming up actually in just a couple of weeks. So,
yes.
So very, very exciting stuff coming up. Be sure to check those out. They can find more information about that on the Facebook page, I assume, correct?
Yes. We have that information on our Facebook page as well as our website. And feel free to call any of the extension offices in the district.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, Wendy, what you wanted to talk about today was grazing management.
Yeah. So our program on November 18th focuses a lot on pasture. So I thought I'd go ahead and talk about why this is important. So a lot of livestock producers will, instead of considering that ranching side, they call themselves grass farmers, which I think is very innovative. The whole grass farmer aspect takes into consideration how you have to care for your pasture or your forage availability in order to grow, meet your goals, whatever you're grazing, cattle, sheep, goats, even hogs, if you're into the pasture system there. So whenever we talk about grass or legumes, because not all forage is grass, it can also be clovers and alfalfa, and there's just a number of different forage types. So each one of them has a specific set of guidelines that through years and years of research, we know what the best way to take care of those plants are. So let's talk about Johnson grass, for instance. Johnson grass has a lot of issues with nitrates. Most folks will know that. But also, you very rarely see it in pasture systems. You see it a lot in hay fields, but you don't really see it in pasture systems. So the reason that is the case, Johnson grass has a growing point of 4 inches. So whenever you see it in pastures, it's going to be an area that hasn't previously been grazed. So cattle, sheep, goats, they're going to just keep grazing that and just keep hitting it and keep hitting it. So it's less than 4 inches nearly all the time. And so eventually that root production, the root carb reserves can no longer grow the leaves. And so when that plant above ground is less than 4 inches, we're just seeing that the roots are just depleted. It can no longer support the plant. And so within, you know, a very short amount of time, one summer, one grazing season, we can see Johnson grass nearly eliminated in pasture systems because animals just keep hitting it and keep hitting it.
Just keep eating it and eating it to the point the plant's like, the roots can't hold it up anymore.
Exactly, because it has such a high growing point. 4 inches is really high compared to other grasses where Bermuda grass can be grazed, you know, carpet height, you know, just a quarter of an inch, and it will survive. Maybe not thrive, but it can survive. So that Johnson grass example is really essentially the epitome of a grazing system. If that grass keeps getting hit and keeps getting hit, the roots are going to deplete and it's just no longer going to be present. So if you consider other forages like Bermuda grass, fescue, native grass, that process, it just takes a few more years. And we're going to see the roots getting depleted each year, especially if that forage is grazed off before frost. So if there's no leaf tissue photosynthesizing carbohydrates and nutrients to get back down into the roots to go through winter, then it's much more susceptible to frost kill, winter kill.
Right, and because it just doesn't have much going on for it at that point.
Right, it's already weak, and then it gets cold, and nobody likes to be weak and cold,
no,
especially grass.
Grass is like, help me.
Yeah, so that's why we really have to consider our grazing management. And this is not something to only think about in August and September. It's something to think about all year long. And whenever we were considering our stocking rates, our grazing densities, which sometimes those two terms, stocking rate and grazing density, can mean about the same thing. But one of them is talking about the number of head on an area. And the other one's talking about the number of head on an area and the amount of time that those animals are there. So some systems are mob grazing, where you have buku animals on a really, really small area, and they're essentially eating all of that grass or all of that forage, because sometimes it's not just grass. They're eating all of that forage, and then they're moved off the next day. And so in the next paddock, they have one day there to consume all of the forage there. But we're seeing that the nutrient use of that forage is so much higher because the animals didn't completely decimate those plants in the first paddock. There's still enough leaf tissue to photosynthesize. The roots are still there to rejuvenate that leaf tissue, and it grows back much more quickly. That period of rest is so crucial whenever we're talking about grazing density. So when these animals move off into the next paddock, then that leaves a certain amount of time for the first one to recover. And so whenever we have a system of mob grazing, we see a really high utilization percentage. But that also comes with the cost of labor. whenever you're mob grazing, you are literally moving animals daily, sometimes a couple of times a day, depending on your system. So you're also making a lot of fence, a lot of that separated with the electric fencing. That's really high labor management. So whenever we talk about rotational grazing, it can be the gamut from anywhere of a 160-acre pasture with one fence line in the middle, so you have two 80-acre pastures. Or rotational grazing could be down that mob grazing area. There's so many different levels of rotational grazing that allows for a little bit of rest. But what I really want to focus on is just giving a period of rest at all. So maybe that 160-acre pasture can be divided into four, and you have four 40-acre pastures, and you can rotate your animals through that every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or wherever you need. And so some of that consideration will need to be if your cows need to be in this southeast pasture because calving season, that's closest to the barn and you can keep an easy eye on them. Then over in the opposite corner, the northeast corner, then maybe that's an area that is excellent fencing and you can put your cow-calf pairs over there and not really worry about them as those calves are a little bit older and it's not quite as visible from the road, you know. So rotating these animals through your pastures, yes, you have some considerations with actual management, where the facilities are, where your water is. So maybe you have a spring or a river or a creek that might go dry during certain times of the year. So that's the water source in that area. So you'd want to obviously avoid that unless you're going to be putting in some other watering systems. So your considerations with a system like that, it's not quite so labor intensive because you're only moving your animals every few weeks. But you do have to have a little bit of fencing, and you do have to have water in all of those locations, or be willing to haul water, which is pretty labor-intensive in and of itself.
Yeah, it is.
So there's all kinds of ways that you can get water in each grazing area that you've got. In addition to having ponds, you can have water tanks. Tire tanks are a really hot topic right now. You can get a tire and put pumps in it and have some lines underground that will allow for, you know, water distribution across your grazing area. And if you want more information on that, I've got tons and tons of livestock watering systems information out there, and I'd be happy to work with you on planning these fencing sites as you are looking at maybe dividing a pasture a little bit more to increase your utilization. I'd be happy to work with you on that. So really what we're looking for is a time frame to give these animals, give the forage a rest. And aside from the animal and plant considerations there, we can talk about the nutrients that are being returned to the soil from the animal. So research is showing right now that what an animal consumes, and this is mostly cattle, that so 100% of the nutrients they consume, they're only retaining about 20%. So that means 80% of that nutrients is going out the back end. And when cattle are, you know, sending it out the back end, they're usually grouped up under a shade tree in the summertime, at the feed bunk or the hay rack in the wintertime. So those areas are higher concentrated, and they show that feces is higher in P and K than urine. Urine is really high in nitrogen. So when we look at that distribution across a grazing area, we can see that it's really concentrated when animals are concentrated. So manure is more piled up under the shade trees, and that's something that when we're rotating our animals through, that's a little bit more distributed as well.
All right. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll continue more of this after the break. You're listening to Wendy Powell right here on Green Side Up, right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this beautiful morning in southeast Kansas. We'll be right back right after this news at the top of the hour. And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF 810 here this morning. Beautiful out there. 56 degrees already. We're going to get up to around, I do believe, the mid-70s today. Give me 2 seconds to look this up. But the rest of the week is going to be great out there as checking out today's forecast. Before we get back to green side up, today a high of 74, so you cannot ask for better weather than that. Wendy is over there, definitely agreed with me on that one. And speaking to Wendy Powell with the K-State Extension offices in Altamont, I do believe.
Yes.
And she's in studio today talking about grazing management. But before we get back to grazing management, there are a few programs that you'd like to talk about, and there was another one we didn't get to the last segment.
Yes. So we talked about the Swine Field Day. It's November 18th and 19th, and that's a virtual conference. So anybody can connect online, or if you want an in-person opportunity there, I'll be set up at the Independence Fairgrounds over at Riverside Park with the screen and speakers and all of that fun stuff. So I'll be there to connect you virtually in person. So November 18th and 19th from 10 a.m. to noon on the Swine Field Day. And then we have a pasture management seminar coming up on the same day, November 18th again. That's going to be followed by a producer roundtable. This pasture management seminar is going to cover fertilization, brush and weed control, grazing management. So really just the whole gamut of forage options for livestock producers. And that's going to be a statewide program. So there's lots of different locations across the state. But here locally, we're going to be doing that at the Caney Rec Center, sponsored by the Caney Ag, over in Caney. So we thank them for that. And then in Crawford County, in Girard, there's going to be a meeting location there at the Extension office. And then Twin Valley Co-op at Altamont. So three different options to connect to that pasture management seminar and producer roundtable. The couple of meetings that I forgot earlier, there's a grain marketing program. That's going to be in Erie, Kansas. It's going to be a midday thing, so from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. That'll be covering all the different aspects of grain marketing. And then there's a state line crops conference. So K-State Wildcat Extension is partnering with Missouri Extension to bring this state line crops conference on December 2nd, 10 a.m. to 1. So again, that one is online, and that should be a really great conference, two different states. So lots of research-based information for those programs.
All right, so great programs out there to participate in. You can go over to their Facebook page, the K-State Extension Facebook page, be able to find out information about that. Or you can just call the offices. It doesn't matter what office. Just call one of them, and they will be able to point you in the right direction.
That's right.
All right, we were talking about grazing management before the break, and just if somebody's just joining us, just kind of a quick recap, which talked about in the first segment, and then we'll get to the second part of our discussion.
Sure. So grazing management is important because animals eat our grass or clovers or legumes, whatever it is that's growing in the pasture. And essentially, something I didn't share with you earlier, Kyle, KFMA, Kansas Farm Management Association, found that the operations, the ranches that are record keeping, are most profitable when they spend less on brought in feed. So whenever they are on top of their game with pasture management and grazing management, they're more profitable. So those that are paying attention to their stocking rates, their grazing densities, those folks are going to be the ones that's actually putting money in the bank right now. So if you just needed a little incentive to get out there and walk through your pasture to see what you've got growing, right there, KFMA says it pays. So the other reason it's important is if we want grass to be there year after year, and if we've put a lot of money into establishing a certain type of forage in a certain area, or fertilizer is incredibly expensive, but it's necessary. It's one of those things that if we don't do it, we might as well not worry about having good forage whenever we're talking about improved forages. So looking at Johnson grass, that's kind of my epitome example of grazing management. Johnson grass has a growing point of 4 inches. So animals love this stuff. It's got some issues, nitrate toxicity. We all understand that. But animals love Johnson grass. That's why you don't see it in pasture systems. So whenever they graze that down below 4 inches and they come back the next day and they just take a chunk off of it and that plant's not 4 inches tall, it can no longer take nutrients down to its roots. So when it can't supply its roots with nutrients, then it's just going to fizzle out. And that can happen in 1 year. Grazing Johnson grass, that's why you don't see it in pastures hardly at all, unless it's a pasture that hasn't previously been grazed or has had a rest from grazing for a number of years.
Is there just something in that type of grass that they just go crazy over? Because you said they will go to town on that kind of grass.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of good nutrients. Johnson grass is very nutritious, so they do prefer that. But again, we know that it has some issues with nitrates whenever the plant is stressed. So in drought conditions, you certainly want to monitor those situations. And the days of the sacrifice animals, for those of you that have heard about just turning a cow out to a sedan grass pasture or whatever, so if she's still alive in 2 hours, then you can turn the rest of them out. That's pretty risky. Animals are pretty valuable these days, so I would really discourage that.
Probably not the greatest plan.
Yeah, I have some quick tests that I can come out and we can... The nitrate test takes about 30 seconds. The prussic acid test takes about 5 minutes. So certainly don't sacrifice animals there.
Especially when you can do a test that's under 5 minutes.
That's right.
Very easily.
Yes. And a field visit from me is free of charge. That's something that I'm happy to do. And we can have a good conversation about grazing management while I'm out there.
There we go. Good stuff there. Yes. And all for free for the most part. So.
That's right. Yes. All of the services that we provide from the local office, nearly all of the services that we provide are free of charge. Whenever we send samples off to the labs, soil, forage, things like that, grain, those tests have a cost associated, but I'm happy to walk through results with folks free of charge, and we can put all of that information together, grain sample results, hay sample results. And yesterday, even, I worked with the producer. He had these options of supplements, this grain, this liquid feed, this cube type that was available to him. And he has this pasture, and he had his hay tested. So whenever he brought all of this information to me with his prices for all of this, we can actually walk through. I'm kind of getting off grazing management here, Kyle.
So. Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
We actually walked through the different production stages of his cows. So we looked at 3 months of feeding his cows this hay, and they were on this pasture. And we compared prices of the different supplement options he had. And so we were able to find which supplement was going to be most cost effective for him, which supplement was going to provide the nutrient requirements that his cows need at that production stage and optimize the dollars that he had to work with. And whenever you're looking at cows, every 3 months in the different production stages, they're changing their nutrient requirements. The first trimester, they have one set of needs. The second trimester is another set. And when they're milking, when they're raising a baby, you know, a live baby, then they have even higher requirements. So whenever their energy and protein requirements are met, that's when you're going to really see a lot of profit with your animals. But to provide that nutrient, we have so many options. You know, you might be able to drive to this feed store and get access to these feed supplements for this cost, but maybe your spouse works in another town and it's also convenient to get feed from this place. And so that opens up a whole nother set of doors with price options, nutrient supplements with that set of feed. So it takes a lot of work to look at your hay, look at your pasture, and really drill down to what is profitable. It's something that takes brain power and thought, and for me, a lot of concentration. I have to turn the radio off whenever we're talking about these and having these conversations. So if I really want to know what I'm spending and how I can maximize my few dollars, then having all that information together and looking at those options is going to be most profitable. But again, KFMA, Kansas Farm Management Association, is telling us that the operations that are most productive, most profitable, are not bringing in feed so much. They are using their pastures to meet nutrient requirements. And that can easily be done. So I talked with another fellow last week about some wheat pasture. You know, wheat pasture has tons and tons of nutrients, but for cows right now, maybe that's a little bit too heavy in nutrients. But for something that's growing, like some weaned calves, wheat pasture is just perfect. It meets their nutrient requirements, allows them to grow, gain weight, and really produce a product that you're looking for in 3 months. But for a cow, maybe that's just going out the back end and it's a waste of nutrients. As we talked earlier, we know that 80% of the nutrients that a cow consumes goes right through them.
Right.
So that's not something that we want to be wasting. It's just something we want to be aware of. Lots of very important aspects to grazing management. And what it comes down to, Kyle, is knowledge is power. Knowing what you're growing, knowing the nutrient value of what's in your pasture is the most important. That way you can supply what they don't have. And when they don't have it, if you're seeing your animals go downhill, then, you know, something needs to change. Maybe those animals don't match your management system. Maybe, you know, your management system needs some tweaks. Or lots of different aspects there, lots of different ways you can accomplish the same goals, so long as you have your goals lined out.
Right. Make sure you have everything ready to go and have a plan, basically, for everything out there.
Yes.
All right. So again, talking a lot about grazing management this morning, but if anybody has any questions, maybe about this, or maybe anything else that people are interested in, how can they get a hold of you guys?
Sure. I can be reached at the Labette County Extension Office, 620-784-5337. And if you want to register for any of these meetings, or get more information about any of those meetings, that same number will get you the information you need, or any of the extension offices. I don't know all of their phone numbers off the top of my head, but Google does. And so also our website, very informative. We keep that very up to date. And our Facebook page has a lot of information in it too. So.
All right. And you make visits as well. If somebody, hey, I need this looked at, could you come out and look at that? You guys are still making visits though, correct?
Yes. So we are able to do our field visits. We wear a mask. We maintain social distance. And whenever we're out in a pasture, it's so easy to walk through a pasture 6 foot apart and have a great conversation.
Exactly.
So no big deal there. Just give us a call.
All right. Well, Wendy, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you guys next week.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this beautiful morning here in Southeast Kansas.